Hey, Nathan and Jessica have a prayer card that I'd love you to take with you. It's at a table out in the lobby. We'd like you to be praying over this family. And then if you'd like to receive prayer needs and be part of the prayer team, they have a sign-up sheet that they'll just email you about once a month and let you know what's happening with them. So those are good things. We are kicking off a series. Today you are here for the launch of a series called The Royals. And deep inside of our hearts, our souls, is this, I'd say, fascination with royalty. Little kids love to hear stories and play princesses, princes, kings, queens. You may know this or maybe not, but I am a granddad. I know. I look so young. I know it's a miracle of God, but I am, which means we have toys at our house, which we love, and we have a castle. The official name of the castle, this is the store's name. It's called Princess Darla's Castle. My wife's name is Darla, and the kids play with it. The kids love stories, and it's not just kids. Adults. Probably one of the most popular board games is chess. And if you know chess, it's all about the king and the queen. The king is the most important piece on the board, but the queen has all the moves. Sort of like real life. Or the very center of Magic Kingdom, the very heart of Magic Kingdom is a palace or a castle. It's called Cinderella's Castle, because that's a fascinating story of a common girl named Cinderella becoming royalty. And there's something fascinating about that. And I believe it's because of the way that God has wired your soul. Because when Jesus came on the planet, He came to give a message that a king was born in Bethlehem and that he was building a kingdom that he called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and that he invited all of us to come into that kingdom, not as commoners, to not live a common life, but to live a life of sonship as a son and a daughter of the king. And when you are the son or the daughter of a king, it makes you royalty. Some of you even have a hard time to like even say that. I would like there to be a moment of enlightenment or revelation where you stop seeing yourself through the many voices that have told you who you are, and start hearing a voice that says, you are so much more. You are so much more. Because that was the message of Jesus. Mark tells the story, all the guys that follow Jesus tell stories about Jesus, but Mark tells the story of Jesus, and by the time he hits verse 14, he's already starting to say, here's what the message of Jesus was all about. Here's what he started to preach. Here's what he started to teach. Here was the central core of his message. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 says that Jesus came from Galilee, and as he came, here was his message. He was preaching, he was teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he's talking about a kingdom. Verse 15 says he was giving this message that the time is fulfilled, it's right now, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's in our midst. It's here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And here's how to be part of the kingdom of God. Repent and believe in the gospel. So he's given an invitation. He's saying there's a kingdom. It's a kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of heaven. It's an incredible place made up of incredible people. And I'd like you to be a part of it. I don't want you to live a common life, not as a commoner. But I call you to something extraordinary. I want you to know, here was Jesus' message, you were born for more. He said this message to common people, and it enlivened them, because They caught the message that Jesus saw more in them than they saw in themselves. And when Jesus speaks to our hearts, when we really hear his voice, he says, I see you being so much more. I see you as a child of God. I see you in this family of God. John tells us that Jesus himself says, anyone who believes, anyone who receives Jesus, if you receive him, if you believe in his name, then you have a right to become a child of God. And if he is the king, which is what Jesus preached and taught, and you are his child, what does that make you? Nudge your neighbor, say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. He is talking about you. That he adopts us into this family, not a common family, but an extraordinary family. One day in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus and was asking, how do I get into this family? How do I find the life, the eternal life that you're talking about? And Jesus said, well, you've got to be born again. If you're born again, or if your soul wakes up, if the lights go on, and you see that you are born for so much more, if you are born again, have a moment of transformation where you see and you receive and you believe. If you are born again, you enter into the kingdom of God. If you don't become aware of who you are, you're not in the kingdom of God. You're not born again. So I would really pray that while we're together today, that the lights would go on. That instead of what your dad or your mother or your teacher or culture or society says you are, you would start to listen to the truth that you are invited to wake up to the potential of your life that is so much more than it is right now. And that's what we're going to be talking about during this series. And it's ingrained. It's ingrained in the very fabric of Jesus' teaching, and I don't want you to miss it. I would say that a lot of people here at some time in their life have heard or prayed a prayer that's called the Our Father, or called the Lord's Prayer, or some people call it the Disciples' Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's found in Matthew 6. How many people have heard that prayer or prayed that prayer at some time? Okay. Now, watch in the very fabric. That's a central prayer, a central prayer of Jesus. And when Jesus begins the prayer, you know how it begins? Do you know how the Our Father begins? Oh, such smart people. It begins, Our Father, who art in heaven, higher. Hallowed be your name. Watch this. Your kingdom come. And when your kingdom comes, the will of God that is in heaven comes into earth. How many of you are presently living in the earth? Very good. How many are aware of this? That when God created us, he created us out of the earth. And when we're inviting his kingdom into the earth, we're inviting his kingdom right into us. So this is the fabric of Jesus, and you can pray that prayer, but miss this, that there is a kingdom, and the king of the kingdom calls himself Father, and who are his children? It's our Father. We call it the Our Father. So we are in his family, and we're inviting his kingdom, which is an amazing place, which is more than we're experiencing right now. Because in his kingdom, death is conquered forever. In his kingdom, there is no sickness, there is no war, there is peace and joy and love. And we experience flashes of it, and we should be praying for more of it. That's what Jesus is saying. Remember when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand? There's two aspects to the kingdom of God. There's something that God is doing right here and right now, but there is so much more coming in the future. And as we pray this kind of prayer, we are inviting what's out there perfection, beauty, majesty, glory. We're inviting that coming kingdom to invade our life today, in this moment. Because he asks us to pray, like it's happening in heaven right now, could that happen in my life today? How many would like to have a little heaven in your heart right now? That's what he's saying. And he's saying there's more. That's what he's calling. There's more. He's calling you to it. And so this little prayer has a lot in it, but I'm just going to unpack three things that we see that he's calling us to experience more of, okay? There's more out there. I'd like you to see that. And that he's calling you to invite it. Your kingdom come. Here's the first thing that we just see, that he's asking us to move into a greater level of provision. And he says it with these words. Give us this day our daily bread. Because bread was a staple food, sustaining people in that day, they were very aware that they were praying for what they needed that day. They also were very aware of their history, that in the history of God's people, there was a season when they were in the wilderness, and in the wilderness, there was no provision of food. There were no Chick-fil-A's, no 7-Elevens, no Arby's, no McDonald's, nothing. It's called the wilderness. And so they prayed, and God sent bread from heaven called manna, or also called the bread of heaven. And when you would get up in the morning and get out of your tent as far as you could see, north, south, east, west, 360 around, there would be bread. The scriptures tell us that it was sweet like honey, possibly Krispy Kreme. Unknown theological truth, but possibly sweet like honey bread. But can you imagine just getting up and getting out of your dorm room, or getting out of your house or your apartment, and stepping outside, and as far as you could see, provision. More than enough. Now, you could only take what you needed, but there was more than enough, which meant if you had greater need, you got more provision. There's a whole teaching there on expanding your need in order to extend the provision that God brings into you. But they would be thinking that way. They'd be thinking, Jesus is saying to invite as children of the kingdom, our Father, as children of the kingdom, to say, there's provision to the north, the south, the east, the west. There's provision all around me. He's asking me to invite that provision into my life. Not just physically. If you're a note taker, I'd like you just to jot down John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds people bread. He feeds a lot of people bread. He feeds, the number is 5,000 men, could have been 10,000, 15, some say 20,000 or more. He fed a lot of people bread. And because he fed them bread, they loved the ministry of Jesus. It was a bread ministry. They were hungry. They said, man, if we follow this guy, he's going to provide for our physical needs. And he does. But Jesus said, oh, it's so much more. And if you're taking notes, I'd like you to write down John chapter 6 and verse 35, because it's in that verse that Jesus says, I am, pointing to himself, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, if you receive me, if you believe in me, you will never hunger again. What is the deepest longing of your soul? He says, that's what I am. That if you come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the deepest longing of your soul will be met, and you will never hunger. He also says you will never thirst. You will be satisfied. So he provides physically, but he provides also spiritually, emotionally. Everything you need, he provides. And you can invite it because you are a child of the kingdom. So there are days that I just feel like I've gone too hard and I've given more than I could give, and I am wrung out. Have you ever just felt like someone grabbed both ends of your life and just squeezed you? And in that moment, I can come to our Father, who is the King, and say, here I am, I'm a son or I'm a daughter. I need provision. My soul is empty right now. Would you please provide for me everything I need? And he fulfills my soul. And he helps me go into the next meeting. He helps me get through the next teaching. He gives me strength for the journey because he is my Father and he provides everything I need. That's good. That's good news. So he says, okay, as the kingdom and kids of the kingdom invite provision. The second major topic he hits is this, and we all need this. He says, invite, we need a lot more of it, more forgiveness. Invite more forgiveness into your life. He teaches us as children of the kingdom, as we pray for God's will to be done in us, just like is it in heaven. He says, here's how you should pray. Forgive us our trespasses, or some translators translate it debts, our debts, or some more modern versions, our sins. Maybe that makes sense to you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And he asks us to pray this prayer how often? Did we pray for our daily bread? Because we have needs every day. And we pray for forgiveness? You were stronger on the bread than on forgiveness. But we all need this truth. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm always thinking, always questioning. And I've prayed this prayer a lot of times. I pray not exactly the words, but the concepts every day in my spiritual journey. And I've come to this moment where I was praying one day the Lord's Prayer, and I literally thought, where is the love? Because love is a central theme in understanding God. In fact, the scriptures tell us God is love. When Jesus summed up the whole Bible into the Reader's Digest version, he said, here's what the whole Bible is about. It's about loving God with everything you have. It's about loving people, and it's about loving the life you've given. It's about love. So why isn't there a line in the Lord's Prayer that says, give us more love? And as I thought about that, just this light went on. This is the line. This is the line. Because forgiveness is the fuel of love. In fact, it would be easier to pray, Lord, make me more loving, than be challenged with forgiveness. Let me ask this question. What is keeping you from becoming a more loving person? And wouldn't forgiveness clear that away? Just think that thought. It's easier to, Lord, make me more loving, but we have to deal with where the rubber meets the road in this moment. We go, what is the blockage in my life that needs to be dissolved? And would forgiveness dissolve that issue so I could move into a more loving reality? Absolutely. Forgiveness is the fuel for love. It cleans things up when there's a blockage between us and God. How is that cleared up? Forgiveness. When there's a blockage between me and anyone in this room, what clears it up? How do we move into a more loving relationship? Forgiveness. When you have a fight in your home, what clears it up? You should have been a little louder on that one. Some people go, really? Yes. Well, if they would only forgive me, I'm sure it would be better. No, you forgive them. That's how it works. Forgive us first. Forgive me as I'm willing to forgive someone else. So the other truth I just love about this is that to be in the kingdom of God, to be one that's called a son or a daughter, a royal in the family of God, you don't have to be perfect. Because he asks us to pray this prayer how often? Every single day. And you know, this is a prayer that when I pray is always answered. If I ever in my prayer time just say, God, is there anything that needs forgiveness? Is there anything that I need to be forgiven of? It's always like, I'm so glad you asked. He always answers that prayer. He always has like, because I need a lot of work. But I'm still in the family. I'm not working my way to get to call him Father. I call him Father and he forgives me. I talked to somebody in the lobby last week and we had a lot of invitations for Easter and they were, I invited a friend and they wouldn't come because they think Christians are perfect and they know they're not perfect. I said, your friend is really messed up. I said, go tell your friend that you talked with your pastor about this and tell your friend that your pastor is a terrible sinner. Just blow their mind. The pastor. I'm still a son. I still need to move into a more loving life. I need to still need to grow. And forgiveness helps me to keep growing every day. It clears the way so I can grow and I can receive more forgiveness. Forgive me as I'm willing to forgive others. Then the last big topic that he says is, as children of God, move into a greater sense of victory in your life. Know that you are in a battle. Jesus very clearly teaches this, but know that I want you to be victorious in that battle. And he teaches us to pray this way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus very clearly taught that there was a kingdom of God, but he also verily was aware that there was a kingdom of darkness, an evil one, and that those two kingdoms were in conflict. In fact, when Jesus walked on the earth, he stepped into situations and he brought the kingdom of God. And here are the three marks of the kingdom of God, if you're taking notes. The kingdom of God is the presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. The presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. And every circumstance that Jesus stepped into, he brought the presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. And he invited the kingdom. So he meets somebody with leprosy. What does he bring? He brings the presence of God to that leprous person. He brings the authority of God over leprosy. And he brings the power of God into their lives to bring healing. He steps in and he actually confronted demonic spirits, the evil one. And he stepped into that situation. What did he bring? He brought the kingdom of God. He brought victory in every point of conflict. And he invites you as a son and a daughter of the Most High God to step into circumstances and bring the presence of God, bring the authority of God, and bring the power of God wherever you are. Because sometimes when you face some opposition, it's a spiritual thing going on. You got to understand there's two kingdoms operating. And so each day we're praying that we would overcome the evil one, that we wouldn't be led into places or things that mess us up, but we would walk in victory as Jesus walked in victory so that we could be actively inviting the kingdom of God into our life today, the kingdom of God into our hour of today, the kingdom of God into this moment of today. That's what we do when we pray. When we pray, we're inviting the kingdom of God, which is so much more than you can think. Heaven is better than you think it is. The kingdom of God is as immense and as beautiful and as magnificent as we see flashes of it in the scripture. It's better than that. And when we pray, we're inviting that to come right here on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom right here. So I got a phone call a couple of days ago from Jerry. Jerry is new to the church. And he came and we had prayer already in the service. And oftentimes when we're having prayer, I'll say, hey, there's a miracle in the house and it's got your name on it. And Jerry's wife said, Jerry, you should go get prayer. Because Jerry had an eye, he wore a patch, and his eye was frozen and unfocused. It was frozen, what do you mean? You couldn't move it, and unfocused means it wouldn't focus. So it's broken, a blind eye. So his wife says, you should go get, and he didn't the first time, but the second time he came for prayer and experienced the presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. And he said, I felt God's presence when the guy that prayed for me prayed with me. And he said, it was a beautiful, incredible experience. He said, I left my patch on. I went home. I was sitting at home watching television through one eye when I thought, God will, I'll never know if God healed me if I don't take off my patch. So he takes off his patch at home, and his eye moves and begins to focus within the first 5 seconds of his patch being off. So that's good. So what is that? There's no eye patches in heaven. No hearing aids, no false teeth, no acne. Come on, somebody, come on. That's about my prayer when I was young. That kept me saved. It's the beauty of all that's out there, inviting it into this moment. And in Jesus' day, it healed blindness, and in this day, it heals blindness. But the greater blindness that it heals is the spiritual blindness of our own souls. When we don't know and we don't believe and we don't live into the truth that we are called to be more, that we are sons of the King, and we live on the planet like sons of the King, that we are daughters of the King. And this is the message of Jesus, the kingdom of God. It's right here. It's in our midst. And you are called into that kingdom. Not as a commoner. I don't want you to live common anymore. I want you to live as a daughter of the Most High God. I want to call you from where you are, where you think you are, to the place I want you to be. I want you to be in the kingdom. But not just, you're not a pawn in the kingdom. You're not a pawn. You're in the back row with the King. And that's the invitation of Jesus, that we would be open to his kingdom that's alive and well in this place. And I would invite you to take that step of faith and say, I want that born-again experience that he talked about with Nicodemus. I want the lights to go on. I want to understand and begin to understand the call that God has for my life, my future, my destiny, my humanity becoming all that God intended it to be. So with that in mind, we're going to have just a moment of prayer together, and I'll ask everyone that's here to take a moment to close your eyes and open your heart. And I'm going to ask people, I'm going to ask you to step across that line of faith today, to make a decision for Jesus, who is the King of the kingdom. He came preaching the kingdom of God. He came saying, join my family. And he's calling us today. I promise you, he's knocking at the heart of your soul now and saying, if you let me in, that light will go on. There'll be more than you could imagine. And it happens as we pray and we make an invitation to say, yeah, I do believe and I do receive. And we're going to pray a very simple prayer. 139 people prayed it last week. We're going to pray it again this week. And the prayer simply acknowledges, Jesus, I give you my life, because when you give Jesus your life, he gives you his life. That's the great exchange. And so the first line of the prayer is this. We're all going to pray it together out loud. He loves to hear your voice, good, strong voice. Would you just say out loud, Jesus, I give you my life. Out loud. Jesus, I give you my life. And he takes it, and he gives you his life. Now let's pray this line. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I repent of my sins. And he takes them. All the sin, all the shame, all the ugliness, all the guilt, all the condemnation. He takes it. Because you're his kid now. the third line, Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Let's pray that. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You're the king. That's saying you're the king. You're the king of my heart. And he loves to hear that. And that doesn't complete the work of God in you. That begins the work of God in you. And I want to be in prayer, and I want to celebrate your dedication today. And I'm going to ask people to do two things, which I often do. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough and hold it up there until you make eye contact with me so I don't miss anyone. Because these are important moments of decision. That's how you move forward in your life, through decision. And this is a moment of moving forward, that step of faith. And so put your hand up high enough in the air. Say, Scott, I prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time. I meant that to God, that prayer. And I just want to acknowledge you. So, yeah, see you. God bless you. Yeah. Let me just make eye contact. Can you get your... Yeah, I just want to make sure eye contact with you. God bless you. Glad you're here. Just wait. Don't look around. Make sure I can get you today. Put your hand up. Yeah, right here. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. And I bless you. And I'm in agreement. I'm going to be praying. That's why I do this, so I can be in prayer for you. Way at the back. Yeah, I see you, man. Two of you. Three. Okay, so maybe you're indicated. Yeah, God bless you guys. I bless you and I honor you right here. Hey, glad you're here. That's a good decision. It's a good decision. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Right here, my man. Thank you. God bless you. Decision for Christ. Take a step of faith. A step of faith. And if your heart is like, that's Jesus, man, pulling you. That's him pulling you right now. And just say, okay, I want to mean that. Yeah, see you. Thanks. Thanks, pal. See you. Thank you. Thank you. These are very important. People are praying all over the place right now because there's a conflict. I see it right there. Thank you. There's a conflict that goes on right now. The kingdom of God is active in this room right now, the presence of God. But the evil one is, he's speaking loudly. No, don't believe him. You'll mess up again. You weren't good enough. Remember when you did this before? That's all lies. Break through those lies and take that step of faith. That's my great prayer today. And say, that's me. That's me. That's me. So we praise God for you. How many are just glad that people are open to their heart to Jesus Christ today? How many are just so great? So we're all going to stand. Can you stand together, please? And we're going to celebrate that dedication in a couple of ways today. One is, and we don't do this all the time, but we're going to do it today. We're going to ask people who are making dedications for Christ to be bold, to shake off what the evil one would be trying to hold you back. And I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and come and stand here with me. I want to pray over the people that are making dedications for Christ. And that includes people that are going to be making dedications of baptism in a moment. But I want you just to come, step out right now. You lifted your hand. You should have lifted your hand. Hey, they're coming right now. Come on, give them a hand. Coming right now. Come on up. Just come on and give them a celebrate. Come on. Hey, guys, well, come on. Come on down. Come on. Come on. That's it. Come on. Thank you. Come on. That's it. Come on. Encourage them. They're still coming from back there. Right the back. Come on up. Come on. Circle around here. Come on. Keep it up. So good. So good. So good. So good. So good. Come on, a little bit more. Keep clapping as long as they're coming. Thank you. So good, man. So good. So good. Squeeze around here. Squeeze around here. Squeeze around here. Squeeze around here. Yeah, squeeze this way. Squeeze. No, you don't have to go this way. You're fine on that side. Just, it's these people that are jammed up in the middle. I'm trying to. Mama. Mama. I just had to hug Mama there because her son's been praying for her for 14 years. Been inviting her and inviting her and inviting her. She came last weekend, made a decision for Christ. She's going to get baptized in a few minutes. So good. If you're here and you're right now going, oh man, I wish I would have walked forward. You still can. Just be bold. Just step out. Just say, I'm coming anyway. I'm making a decision for Christ today. I'm making a stand. If you're anywhere in this room, step out now. I just want to wait a moment for you to come. Just push your friend into the aisle. Bring him on down. I don't care. We celebrate you guys. We're glad for you guys. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. I want to bless these guys. And then we're going to be baptizing. Now, if you're here and you go, man, I need to go public in my faith for Jesus. I've never been baptized, or I've made a restart with Christ. I want you to join these people. I'm going to pray, and they're going to walk through this door. You just get in that line, because we got some clothes for you. We will baptize you. We got towels and shorts, and we got a whole system. We're all organized. The Ask Me people know what's going on. They got it going on over here, and we're going to baptize a lot of people. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. Does anybody else need to come? I'm an evangelist at heart, man. I want to see people come to Christ, man. I'm like, come on. This guy's waving at somebody. Come on over here. So we're going to pray. They're going to go. And you, if you want to get in the flow as they leave, you can do that too. Just sneak in. We'll even take sneaky Christians around here. We'll take them. We just take them all. Just sneak in. And just get in that line. And some baptism, man. And then the worship team is going to sing a song. And then we're going to go out and celebrate these people being baptized. Looks like the sun has come out, actually. Yeah, that's amazing, because we didn't know how it was all going to happen. But I think we're going to be baptizing out on the patio. So come and be a part of that celebration. Just cheer these people on. And let me pray. And if you have kids, get your kids before you come outside. Get them first. Tiny Town, energize. Get them and then come outside. And let's just pray. Let's put your hand, extend your hands towards these people. Can you do that? Lord, we are standing in the middle of the greatest miracle that takes place when a human being opens their hearts to the King. And the awakening takes place. The more takes place. I pray these guys would continue to press forward to receive more and more. This is not an ending point for them. It's a launching pad for them. It's a beginning point for them, Lord. And I pray the Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will shine upon you with grace and glory. We bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And those who are being baptized, we bless your baptism. We bless you as we celebrate with you in the strong name of Jesus. We all say together, amen.